as medical director of foreground services and an air service, certainly sleep and fatigue is a significant concern for me.
That was Dr. Frank Guyette, medical director for several air and ground EMS agencies. We asked Dr. Guyette to share his concerns about sleep and fatigue from a medical director's perspective.
It's a concern that's been brought up in the safety literature, both for air and ground services. In the air service, there's some more control over what the paramedics and nurses do. We have the ability of any crew member at any time pull the aircraft out of service for the purposes of fatigue. So if they're working a 24-hour shift and they've done five flights or they've been out on missions all day and they're fatigued, at any time without penalty, they can call up and they can shut the aircraft down for a period of 4 hours to get rest. And that tool's worked well for us. The crews do utilize it. For a ground system, that would be a little bit more difficult to do because certainly in many communities, particularly at night, you only have one unit available. In many communities, you wouldn't have the ability to cross-cover, bring in mutual aid to cover if there was a sleep and fatigue issue.
Many EMTs and paramedics work multiple jobs just to make an honest living. As we know, having multiple jobs can impact one's sleep and fatigue. We followed one EMT working more than one EMS job over an entire week and asked him to reflect on his sleep and fatigue before and after each shift. Now, a little background on Joe EMT reveals that he works two jobs. He attends school at night in order to fulfill requirements for a paramedic certification. And like many of us, Joe EMT has a family and family obligation.
I am 29. I'll be 30 at the end of June. Actually, this Wednesday, May 19th, will be my 10th year full-time at my main ambulance job.
It's Monday morning. Joe just finished a 24-hour shift at his first job. We catch up with Joe on his way to a second job for an 8-hour shift.
Usually Mondays are a pretty decent day here at my other job, so knowing on a transfer basis at least that it's not going to be that bad. Physically, this morning I did feel a little drained. Definitely could use a decent breakfast or another quick nap. Well, for the most part, I come with I try to have an uppity attitude at least walking in the door.
We talked to Joe before and after his shifts throughout the week. Now on Thursday, Joe was leaving a 24-hour shift at his first job. He reveals how tired he is and how at this stage in the week he feels particularly tired and fatigued.
I'd say this morning was the lowest point of the week.
Rather than head right to bed, Joe reveals that he has to finish some studying in preparation for his paramedic course on this night, which usually lasts about 4 hours. He also states that he has to complete some household duties instead of getting some sleep. It's Friday, and Joe ends his week with 77 total hours of work, 15 total patient transports, and 22 total estimated hours of sleep, with only 12 hours of actual uninterrupted sleep.
Working those type of hours for me is more of a must than it is a want. Yeah, I don't mind working 80 hours because it's fun to do and I like to do it. It's more of, yeah, I'm working the schedule because I kind of have to right now. I feel the compensation in wages probably isn't as fair as it should be compared to, you know, even like your police officers. It's kind of disappointing on the fact that the type of job that we do and how we're put into the extreme stress situations, along with also high risk potential of the nature of calls we go on, not only vehicle accident and hazardous material wise, but also you don't know the situation of, are you going to walk in and the patient's going to have a gun, shoot you when you walk in. That high risk potential is always there. For the nature of the job, I love doing it. I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else.
Joe EMT represents a sizable portion of our nation's EMS workforce. In many agencies, an EMT's wage is low, and making a real living requires multiple sources of income, which can mean holding multiple jobs. While holding multiple jobs may be a necessity for many EMTs in the U.S., medical directors like Dr. Guyette are not exactly thrilled about it.
Well, what I find problematic about sleep and fatigue in EMS is the varied way in that EMS workers live their lives. Many of them, particularly in our region, work multiple jobs. It is not uncommon in our region to have folks go directly from a 24-hour shift at one site to a 24-hour shift at another, although there is a large amount of time that might be readiness time where they're able to sleep or rest. It's certainly unpredictable. There is the potential that an individual worker could be up for 24, 36, or even 48 hours.
Recent research by Dr. David Dickinson, a behavioral economist at Appalachian State University, reveals that going without sleep for long periods of time has a direct impact on our decision-making. In a study of dozens of volunteers, Dr. Dickinson and colleagues discovered that after 36 hours of sleep deprivation, volunteers showed a tendency to make decisions with their emotions and rely less on critical thinking and judgment skills. The decisions tested dealt with problems requiring critical thinking.
We had a couple of dozen subjects where they weren't allowed to sleep for an entire 36-hour period. So these subjects were going to do what we considered simple two-person interactive tasks, much like you would get with simple bargaining or whether you have to trust someone or not. And what we found is that subjects trusted less in one version of this task following the 36 hours of total sleep deprivation. And what we'd say is there's an emotional content to most decisions, especially ones that involve interaction with another person. But typically, you have more rational component to your thought process that's able to help keep emotions in check so that they don't kind of disproportionately control the decision.
Everyday tasks that require critical thinking and decision-making, such as EKG interpretation, intubation, persuading a patient to seek appropriate medical care, and patient triage, may be impacted by periods of sleep loss. The literature on EMS sleep and fatigue is limited, and some early studies, such as the one published in a recent issue of Pre-Hospital Emergency Care, suggest that sleep and fatigue may be a threat to patient and provider safety. In the short term, Dr. Guyette has these following recommendations.
Again, I think we go back to that whole professional model. We make the expectation that in order to do your job properly, you need to come to work well-rested and prepared to commit to the duties of the day. So if that's the case, the answer to sleep and fatigue as a safety issue is to embed that in the safety culture, to give the individual paramedic or EMT the ability to candidly assess their own performance and the ability to pull themselves out of service if they feel that they're incapable of doing their job. To give supervisors the ability to do that, too, to recognize the signs of sleep and fatigue and pull their subordinates out of service if they feel they're not capable of doing their job, and to make the expectation that when you show up to work to be able to perform your job throughout your entire shift. I think that that's probably a more reasonable solution than some type of draconian testing.
There is limited research on sleep and fatigue among EMS workers. We still have much to learn about how big these problems may be, how best to measure them, and what may be appropriate solutions to reducing them as threats to patient and provider safety. Stay tuned to more MSARN podcast dealing with sleep and fatigue among EMS providers.
To learn more about MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to www.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name's Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you. Good day.